Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Hey friend, I am so excited to invite you to a free 3-day challenge called the Reflect and Renew Challenge. In this free challenge, you'll begin to think about teaching elementary music in a new way. In just 3 days, you'll go from feeling overwhelmed to confident and will surround yourself with other music teachers who will support and encourage you. Day one is all about reflecting. You'll reflect back over where you're at in the school year and identify the highs and lows, no matter if you are joining this challenge at the beginning, middle, or end of the school year. We start with reflecting first in order to move forward successfully. Day two is all about processing. You'll process through what it is you need to focus on to make your music teaching situation successful. Then day three is all about renewal. You'll break through mindset beliefs while setting goals and action steps to help you meet them. Each day of the challenge, I will go live inside of the challenge Facebook group. You'll be getting a daily challenge email that will contain action steps for you to take, and you're going to get to know other music teachers who can encourage you and support you along your journey. If you cannot make it live to the challenge for the next dates coming up, you can still sign up because you'll still get the challenge emails that are full of so much inspiration. You do not want to miss them. So still sign up. And also you can watch the Facebook Live replays if you can't make those live as well. So simply head to subscribepage.com/reflect-and-renew-challenge to save your seat. And I'll see you there.
I'm Maurice McDavid, host of Black, Brown, and Bilingue, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited for this episode because I am joined by one of my absolute best friends and co-teachers, Luis Baez. Did I say your last name right, Luis?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. It took me a while, right? And we're going to talk about his experience teaching in the U.S. as a foreign teacher. Luis comes from the Dominican Republic. And so this is just a conversation I wanted to have because I know he is not the only teacher in the U.S. having this experience. And so I'm just hoping that his experience of, you know, not being a U.S. citizen and teaching in this country helps other teachers listening and how to get experience and to grow from their experience as well. So, Luis, I would love for you to just start off by telling us all about yourself.
Okay. Thank you for that introduction. I love it. Well, my name is Luis. As you said, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for about 4 years now and 4 or 5 years, actually. And I love teaching. I teach English in my country. I'm here. I teach Spanish. Interesting. I came from Dominican Republic, totally different weather, different people, different social life. And it's been a lot challenging for me to adjust to USA culture, but it's been fun. It's been good. And I like teaching because I think that that's the way for me to connect with others and to understand about others, and others can understand about themselves. So we can have a better communication. It's a way to live this life. That's why I'm a teacher, and that's about me.
Love it. Okay, so let's start off by talking about your experience teaching in the Dominican Republic, and then we'll shift gears and talk about the U.S. So you became a teacher. You taught in the Dominican Republic. And so talk about that experience a little bit.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. My Dominican Republic was, it's been good because I know people in my country. It's been easy for me to communicate with people. And for me to be a teacher in my country, it's been like, I know the people I'm talking to. I know what they want. I know what to teach. I learn English and I can like share that experience for they to do the same. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been fun. Was new actually. When I started teaching, that was something new for me because I was teaching in high school and elementary school as well. So I was teaching everywhere because they were needing teacher in my country for teaching English. When I get to apply to be a teacher, they use me everywhere. So I was teaching everywhere, and that was good. Good experience. I think that I could, we have a curriculum. We don't have that in the USA. Curriculum is like the guide that we have to follow to teach.
Right.
And I got familiar with that. And for me, it was easy to implement that in my teaching style. And that was my experience teaching in Dominican Republic was for about 2 to 3 years teaching in my country.
Okay. So then you end up in the U.S. And I know your story. You started out in Chicago and now you're in Arkansas. So just talk about your experience of teaching in the U.S. and how it's different, or like, you know, things that you had to learn along the way.
it's been a lot. Like, honestly, I don't know how to start this. Well, I came with a program of teachers, 5 teachers that came to Chicago from Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, we have to get used to the rules, the standards. We don't have curriculum anymore. We have that in my country. We don't have that in here. Right. So we have the standards that we have to follow to teach. That was good. That was like something I can understand, I can manage. Mm-hmm. But the difference of social life was the shock. Like, honestly, when I was like, the approach you have to have with the students is a lot different. Mm-hmm. We have IEP students. We have 504 that I was like, what is this? Those process, like, what's going on? That was back in Chicago. I remember that I have like 4 or 5 IEP students in the same class. And one has like emotional problem. Other mm-hmm. have like aggressions. And I have to like try to balance what I'm teaching, provide instructions in a different way. That was a little shocking, but I got to manage that when I learned how we have to approach the students. Like we have in Dominican Republic, I can say that we have more close contact with the student when they have emotional problem. We can say like, hey, we are at the school, let's go wake up. We have to do this. We have that close experience. But here we have to be more careful because there are legal things involved in IEP students. So we have to know what is going on. And sometimes we cannot even touch a student, not even like that.
Right.
So that difference was a little hard to digest. Mm-hmm. And then, but when I get to learn that was easier for me to, because honestly, I can say that that's my personal way of being. Like I like mm-hmm. to learn where I am. So it was not too hard for me when I learned what to do, how to approach, but was a little talking, like I can say difference. It's a lot different in that sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Personal space. We don't have that in my country.
Yeah. I can tell you yeah. that. Even, you know, in the U.S., it has changed over the years where even back in the day, you could give a student, you can still give them like a side hug. But, you know, you used to be able to like do a lot more of that. And now it seems like a lot of that is, you know, disappearing too. I feel like every year it becomes a lot more strict, I guess is the word. Like you said, more students are on IEPs and 504 plans than ever before. And it is. It's like one of those where I'm like, man, it has changed a lot. And even
so, you know, for you too, yeah. It's not only for me. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's changed a lot. But that's eye-opening to me too, because you and I have had those conversations, how you say it's so different in the Dominican Republic. Because here in the US, we just think, okay, you know, some students are on various plans, IEP 504, whatever it is. But you just kind of think that's just the way it is everywhere, but it's not. And so I love, like you said, learning. I love learning about education in other countries too, because I think it's fascinating how it's not the same everywhere. And yeah, I think we always can learn from each other. So students in the Dominican Republic, for example, like let's say there is someone who, I don't know, is on the autism spectrum. I use that as personal example. You know my story. Do they diagnose that there, or how does that work?
Yeah, we do have cases where they have they had this type of mental situation. Okay. And what we do is like there are some special schools for those students. And if there is no any diagnostics of what is going on the student, and we found that we have behavior problems, we talk to the parents like, hey, this is what's going on. We have we don't use that many emails. We call the parents. Yeah, they go. That's something that was actually a lot for me to understand here. We email everything. We do email. We record everything. It was not like that in my country.
Yeah.
We call the parents. They show up at the school. We have to talk to them. This is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if that continues, we have to stop we have to have the students at the house for about 2 or 3 days so they can understand that they are at the school and they can miss the school and come back with more energy to readjust to the school. But we have consequence when there is a behavior problem, consequences like we have to talk to the parents, like I cannot continue the class with these students because they are interrupting others' learning. So we have like a more clear conversation about that, and we adjust the strategy or the method we use to continue the teaching process. But here we have like those IEP programs that we have to read everything that is there. We have to email. We have, you know, it's a different process of approach. But overall, it works. I can say that it works in my country. I have seen improvements.
Yeah.
A lot of students that have this type of mental situations in which we have to intervene and try to do something else, we have more power of what to do and who to talk to in the sense that we can put our personal thing like to help the students a little bit more.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like, you know, sometimes you have good parental involvement. And parents are very involved and you can call them and they will come up. I'm thinking of my previous school experience. We've talked about both of our experiences. And there were some parents that I feel like I could call and they would come up to the school. And then there would be some parents I would call and say, that wasn't my child. And you're like, what? Yeah, I just watched them, you know, throw this chair or whatever it was. And I'm like, it's mind boggling to me because on the parent side of things, I am that mom that I'm like, I get a phone call. I'm like, nope. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a whole conversation for another day. You and I get to work hand in hand every day and our desks are literally right by each other. So it's really fun. We kind of share an office space. And so would you say for a teacher coming to the U.S. and learning, like you said, a new way of doing things in a school setting and not knowing the culture here and all those things, is having not just me, but anyone else, like your friends, you have some family here and things like that, is having a support system really important as you're teaching in a new country?
Yes, honestly, it's very, very important. And that support system has been you, honestly, like you are destined to be, and you've been helping me with, like, we are having both at the same, almost similar experience. We are in the same area working and having you helping me with whatever new you are learning. Like it's been a lot more than what I expected. And it's been helping me a lot to feel better about what I'm doing, feel comfortable with what I'm teaching, because you are going through the same experiences, even though you are from this country, you understand more about the culture than me. So I'm not afraid of asking you a question about whatever I need. And you are always open to talk to me. It's been a lot. It's been a very good support. I think that a support system helps teachers to feel like a family, and that helps a lot, because sometimes you have to feel like you are comfortable teaching so that you can bring the best for the students. Having a support system is very, very important, and I think that if you tell me how it's been, the support system at the school, it's been good, but having the same experience in the same area has been more than everything else, because we can share, and you've been helping me to feel like I'm back home. I have somebody that understands what I'm going through, and let's work, let's get this done. And that's been you on this case. And I appreciate that. And I love that experience, honestly.
Yeah. So a teacher, maybe they're not, maybe they're teaching a different subject. Like maybe they came to the US and they're teaching English, or they're teaching math, or they're teaching whatever other subject area. Would you encourage them just to find another teacher I know sometimes it takes time to build those relationships, but finding another teacher that they can talk to and ask questions to and just, like try to find that support system.
Yes, yes. It's good for a teacher that is being from another country here in the USA to find that teacher that is going, that is new or is going through the same experience or have more experience with the students than you. Do not be afraid to approach. And I recommend people I recommend schools that mm-hmm. if you get a new teacher from a different country, try to ask questions, open questions to see how do you feel doing this? Do you used to do that in your country? How do you approach the students so they can relate the experience we had previously to what we have now and try to adjust? So for the having a support systems, it would be a lot different. Like the teacher would be comfortable. You would have more and more achievement from the teachers because we have somebody that support us that make us feel familiar with what we are living now.
Yeah.
So that's very good, interesting.
Yeah, that's good. So I know you have made sacrifices with being away from your family, and you are very good about FaceTiming them and Zoom calls and all the things. But how have you coped with being away from your family for so long?
Oh yeah, that's honestly, we are never ready. So we think that it's going to be that way. When we came here, we are going to have like the best experience ever. It's good yeah. experience, but it's different. We are far from our family. We feel like the culture shock, the social life is totally different. What has been helping me to cope with that is to be in contact with my family. So I never forget who I am. So I'm mm-hmm. always calling my mom, calling my father, calling my baby, calling everyone that I can. So I always I keep that energy, personality. I do not forget who I am because people tend to do the opposite of that. When they come here to the USA from a different country, they lose connection. And then you lose who you were when you were in your country. You lose the dream you have when you were in your country. So keeping that connection and building new connection help you to not forget who you are and to learn something new or from the place you are. So I recommend from people from other countries teaching here in the USA that you keep contact with your family. If you don't have contact where you were in your country, try to build them, because that helps you to cope with everything you have doing here.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I'm so proud of you for continuing those conversations. And like you said, to not forget who you are. That's so good. Yes. Because you and I have had conversations, even the culture is different, but even the food and even the way people dress and oh my gosh, I need a coat because we don't have winter there, you know? And so all those different things, I've been what are some examples? I'm trying to think now. You were trying to talk to me one day about a certain food, and I'm like, what is that? what was it? You cooked something, and I was mind blown. What?
Honestly, it's a lot harder for me to talk in English about the food we have because we have different names, we have different seasoning, we have a lot of different things. So I'd rather learn from what you have from me than to explain what I had in my country, right? Show you a picture. This is what I mean.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say from working with you is one thing I've learned is patience, but also just like you said, understanding goes a long way. Understanding that you're not going to know all of the phrases and the sentences and the way we do things. And, just you're having a conversation and you can tell sometimes you're not understanding everything going on just because of the language difference even.
Yes.
And so we were talking about the support system. My encouragement is also someone teaching in the U.S. that's not from here. That support system needs to be patient. And like you said, ask questions. Do you understand this? Does this make sense to you? What can I explain better? There's been many times in conversations you and I have stopped and I've looked at you and I said, do you get it? And it's not, and I've told you this, it's not because I don't think you're competent or that you don't, you're not smart. It's just because I can tell sometimes even certain words, you're like, what does that mean? And we take that for granted. We're just have a whole conversation. But someone like you who's still learning the English language, and it's sometimes you forget that. And so patience and understanding and asking clarifying questions is huge, I feel.
Yes, you went right to the point that we as separated teachers, we tend to not ask questions because they will think that you don't know what you are doing, or they would think that you are not capable enough of keeping the job. We have to forget about that. We are from another country. We are still learning. We have a new language. We have now our brain is divided in what we are understanding. So make sure you ask clear questions. I don't understand that word. What is that exactly? What is this? Right. I have talked to my principal, and the first thing I said is, sometimes I'm not understanding what you are saying because of the language barrier.
Yeah.
So I may ask you some questions about what we are talking, so we can rephrase, or make me understand exactly what's going on.
Right.
Keeping that position as a foreigner is very important, because we tend not to ask questions, thinking about they will treat me differently. They will not. They will understand that I'm not understanding. So it's fine. It's fine, and you have to that build confidence in you by asking what you want to talk about. I mean, what you mean, and that make other people to understand that you are trying to learn a new culture, new language, that you are here first time, and that you need that support. That helps both ways. You to have patience, me to understand better, and to get familiar with the culture and the system.
Yeah. Well, and every teacher asks questions. And so, like you said, don't feel like by you asking questions means that you're not an expert or know what you're talking about. I ask questions all the time. Like you said, our principal is probably like sick of the questions I ask. But also, I was thinking about when you're teaching Spanish to our students at the school, and the way you're teaching them Spanish, a lot of it is repetition and repeating the words. And so same for you when you're learning new words or phrases, or and you're like, oh, that's what that means. So the next time it comes up in conversation, is that what happens sometimes? Where you're like, oh, okay, I remember that now.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I do not remember, but most of the time I remember what I have learned.
Yeah.
Based on the context. And let me tell you this, it's something that not everybody say. When you come from another language and you're trying to understand English, there are a lot of things that you don't understand, but you then get your mind straight when based on the context. So you get like you say, oh, right, that's what she's saying, that what he's saying. Oh, okay, I understand. But sometimes there are words that you don't understand, and you have to say, like, I don't understand that.
Right,
what are
right.
you talking about? But for me and the now that you said about my teaching style, for me and the connection with the students, it's been a little challenging. Sometimes they say, teacher, What is that? You don't say that. I remember I was saying hurt, and it's not like that. You say hurt with. I was like, oh, okay. I will repeat after you, and I tried to just to not feel uncomfortable when they are correcting me. That's something important that teachers from foreigners teachers they have to understand that you have to make it like positive. When you are learning from the students, sometimes there are teachers that they don't want to be corrected from the students.
Right.
But if you are from another country, that will happen a lot. They will say, teacher, you don't say like that. You say like this.
Yeah.
And you have to, all right, let's go like that. All right. Let me repeat after you and let's go with the class.
Yeah.
So you don't have that. Like, that could be weird. Students telling you like what to say, you see? So, so you have to make that a positive impact in the class.
Yeah.
And thank you that you mentioned that. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of a specific example right before Christmas, and you had Santa's bag and you were pulling out different items, and then you showed them coal, but you said you were teaching them rock in Spanish, and the kids kept saying coal, and you're like, what's coal? Rock. And then it went back and forth. And finally you were like, I think you looked at me or Julianne, who's our drama teacher, and you're like, what's coal? What's coal? And we're like, oh, coal is. And so I love that you said that, because you could have been offended and been telling the kids, it's a rock. And like, that's it. We're moving on. But you took that as an opportunity when they're all saying the same word to go, what are they saying to me?
And
So that was just a simple example. It made me think of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I look for teachers as well, like mm-hmm. what they are saying. Like this is a strategy I do. If there is a foreigner teacher listening to this, could use this strategy mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So if the student tell me like this is what it is and this is what is that, or I'm saying something wrong, I pay attention to that student, and that student most likely like to explain things. Mm-hmm. So when I have a situation and I don't understand in other students, I get like, come here. That's matters for me. That's a student I have. Matters, come here. Yeah. What is he saying? And he tried to explain to me what is going on. And that deal like a culture. When they are seeing me teaching, they like to explore. Oh, what is that? Can you explain it to me? They are not afraid because they explain it back to me as well. Mm-hmm. They explain things back to me. So it's different when a teacher is just teaching. They're a little afraid of asking questions they think that they are not good questions. Mm-hmm. So that helped me. Like, you know, I turned that around, and that helped me more when they are learning, teaching me something. And when I'm teaching them something, that helps me more to build that relationship. Sometimes teachers forget when students.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say, is you're building relationships. When students feel like they have a voice and they're able to express their opinions or talk about things or ask questions to the teacher, even, that really is building relationships and helping them to trust you, but also to,
the trust factor. They trust me. What that does is that does a lot in the student's brain. Mm-hmm. That makes the student think like, I can ask whatever question I have to this teacher. I can get close to this teacher and say some problems I have, because he listened to me when I'm trying to say something or explain something, and I don't put any faces. Like I don't do any face that the students, they pay attention to your face. Yeah. So if you are learning from them and you put like a genuine face that you are paying attention, mm-hmm. they will as well get that back to you to ask you questions and to tell you things that they don't say to other teachers. That's why they are so comfortable talking to me. They are comfortable getting new knowledge from me. I mean, getting new knowledge from them. That's a good strategy that I use with them.
Yeah, that's great. So is there anything else you want others to know who may be considering teaching in the U.S. or going even from the U.S. to teach in a different country? You know, how can they best prepare themselves?
Oh, okay. Well, for me, it's been like, I thought I was ready until I knew I was not. So when I came here, there were a lot of things to learn, a lot of process, a lot of emails. What I can recommend for teachers from other country and going to another country mm-hmm. is to get that support system. Mm-hmm. Like, try to think this way. I'm a new student, even though I'm a new teacher.
That's good.
I'm a new student. So now that I'm a new student, I have to find my teachers. Who are your teachers? The principals, the other teachers, the students. You have to open your brain, open your mind, and think, I'm here to learn. When you are open to learn, you are open to teach even better. Mm-hmm. So that's what helps me a lot. I'm open to learn from whatever I'm experiencing. So when I get to know what I'm doing, what I'm saying, I know my subject. I know Spanish. Spanish mm-hmm. is my first mm-hmm. language. Nobody have to teach me Spanish. I know that. But I have to learn the way to deliver that to the new students I'm teaching. I have to learn how to deliver that to the new system I have to follow. So it's a learning curve, and you don't have to think that you are not capable. You have to think that you have to get to be capable of teaching. So get to be capable of delivering your knowledge. So it's a learning curve. Think that you are a learner, and mm-hmm. you have to learn to teach, not that you know everything, because that will actually hold you back to get new knowledge. You will not be able to feel comfortable because you think that you already know what the process is when you don't know. So you have to open your brain, be a student again, and try to build that friendship, relationship with the students, with the principal. That helps you as a foreigner to do a lot better.
Mm-hmm. I love your perspective on that, because, you know, whether it's a teacher that's new to the U.S. or not, you know, there's different teaching styles. There's some teachers that are like, this is my way. Nobody's giving me opinions. I don't want to. But you and I are very similar in that way where I'm also new to the school this year. But at other positions I've been at, I've been that way too, where don't go in. Like you said, you know your content. I know how to teach music in my sleep. But at the same time, I don't know the way this school does things. And I'm learning from other teachers and the students and the classroom setting and, you know, my colleagues and other things. And so I think that's important to remember for any teacher. Maybe you're at a new building or a new school, or maybe you move from one of the states in the U.S. to a new state, or maybe it's a new country.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I love that you said that. You said, be a student, not just a teacher. I think that's so important, because going in with a growth mindset like we teach students to have is so important, that you're learning right along with your students. And that's okay. Yeah. And that every year after that will get easier and better. So,
yeah. And I said that also because how can you be a good teacher to teach people how to learn things if you don't know how to learn? So you have to be open how to learn, how to be better, how to do things. Like when you go to my class, I have a little thing of everyone. Like, and sometimes I'm passing by your class. I say, oh, I can use that material. I use that. I go to Julian's class, somebody else that I'm at the building, and I see, like, I can use that. I ask them, like, how do you do this? What materials do you use? All right, I can put my style and use a little of everyone and do better. And that's something that helps a lot and makes the difference when you're teaching.
I had a mentor teacher tell me once to steal ideas. And I was like, what? You know? And she said, no, seriously. But she said that not just from music teachers, but other teachers. Any teacher you see, you're going to see things that they're doing or the way they're teaching something or a cool idea. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I could totally use that. That happened with me when I saw a kindergarten teacher a long time ago doing centers in her classroom. And I remember thinking, huh, I wonder if I could do centers in the music room. And I have plans this coming school year to do that. But I went, how can I make the kids, like, in small groups, do centers activities in music where they would be doing it in math in that classroom? And so, like you said, see ideas that are working and steal those and then reframe it for your classroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Why not? I remember I was thoroughly lost when I came to Chicago. I was thoroughly lost because there were too many IEP students in my class. I didn't know how to. I can control somebody that was emotionally uncontrolled and he was so angry all the time. I was like, how can teachers do this? I cannot touch that student because there is legal issues, IEP on that student. So, but he's not letting me teach. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the principal. I said, hey, can I go to somebody else's class in my free time to see how they do?
Yes.
And they said, of course. And you know what is interesting? That the principal told me, nobody have told me that before.
Really?
I was like,
wow.
But that's the logical thing to ask when you don't know what's going on with your students. Mm-hmm. But so I went to another teacher that was a math teacher. Mm-hmm. And I went to the room and I was looking at the process, how it is, how it goes. And I said, like, ooh, this is interesting. He used to provide a lot of details before starting the class, so they don't have any time to think about emotions, mm-hmm. about things outside the class. So providing the instruction was the way. So I was lacking on that. So when I started the class and said, like, we're doing this, we're doing that, they don't have any time to think other than the time to think about the class.
Right.
So that was the strategy that helped me. But it's interesting that I asked that question to the principal. Nobody have told that to the principal, not even a new teacher. I was like, okay, that's interesting. So we have to be open to help ourselves. Like, go to the principal, tell them, like, this is what's going on. We're humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me to be just clear with what I think, what I need.
Yeah, I love that. Like, listening and sitting in on other classrooms is so important. You and I have both talked about teaching the little bitties like we're teaching this year. It's kind of new to both of us. And Miss Sarah, if you're listening to this, we sit right next to this K-4 teacher's classroom. And one thing I'm telling you, even without sitting in her classroom, I have learned from her is she has so much patience. She is so just always engaging her students and asking them questions and has these cute little songs she does. And they are always eating up anything she does, just paying attention so well. And so even sometimes just listening to what's going on, if you're not sitting in there, you can hear it. You can hear what the other teachers are doing.
You can get ideas.
Yes. And I, from her, I've been like, okay, with these K-4 students, I'm like, that would be cool. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be da 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 da. You know, and so, yeah, you're like taking notes in your brain of, I'm going to do this and this and this.
That's a perfect strategy to be better at teaching all the time, because you are always open to learn from others. And imagine that, let's say this teacher has 30 years, 20 years, 10 years teaching, and you have just 2 years teaching, 3 years teaching, and you get to that place and you learn from somebody that have so many years teaching, that you get that experience just in a little bit. It's a lot. So you can do a lot better because you are open to learn from others. Right. And that's just something that all teachers have to implement, have to have, like, it's a key. We have new generation, new students. How come we know everything? That's impossible. So we have to learn from others.
Yeah.
That's been a lot for me.
Yeah. So good. Lewis, I have loved this conversation and we could keep going forever. You and I always talk so much, but where can everybody, after they listen to your episode, connect with you?
Oh, Instagram. Let me see if I can say it well in English. I will spell it.
Yeah, and I'll include it in the show notes too.
Oh, you will include it on the
notes? Yeah.
All right. It's like Ry Lewis Project.
Okay.
And I have my Instagram. You can put my phone number as well, my resume, whatever information they can contact me at. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's basically the contacts I have right now.
Hey, while I have you, talk a little bit about your art that you do, because that's totally separate from this conversation. But oh my gosh, how cool. Like, you're like this amazing graphic artist that, like, I don't think I can. Amazing is not even the word to use, just amazing. So talk to us about that part of you, your creative side.
Oh, yeah. I've always been interested in looking for drawing, arts, painting. I like that. So since I was a little kid, I look after my brother. My brother used to paint. And since I was a little kid, I like drawing, painting, editing videos, talking. Those are things that I like since I was a little kid. So I've been like working on them. And now I'm very good at drawing. Sometimes whenever I have the chance to teach and do a drawing, I do it at the same time. The students go like, wow, how can you draw that?
Yeah.
So I implement the things I know. That's my personal style to the things that I have to teach, and the student get better quality. So sometimes you can implement your art, the things you do to teach. So you can have like a personal teaching style and better quality because it's something you know. So I like art. I've been liking art since I was a little kid. So I'm getting even better all the time on that, because I'm always drawing and doing art. And that was the way I learned, just looking at my brother. My brother was drawing. I was like, and then one day he was like, oh, you are better than me at drawing now. I was like, I'm always looking because you are doing stuff. And that was the way I did it. Yeah. I like it. This is the personal things I like. And I will continue doing it all the time whenever I can, even at the school, even teaching. And you saw me drawing everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're so great at it. And I'm the total opposite. I can't art, so.
But I can sing. So we have balance. I cannot do a line. I was like, okay. I was not made for that.
No, I can't draw a stick person. I mean, maybe I can, but it's sad. But anyway, we've talked about that.
You have the music side.
Exactly. That's what I've always said. I got the music side of the arts, not the art side. And so I try my best, but it's, hey, I can color in the lines. I can do that. I can. I think.
I know you can do it.
Well, Lewis, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'll see you at school soon.
See you at the school soon, whenever the snows let us.
I know.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook Group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.